Those were the good old days. Life was so easy. And now here you are 10, 20, 30, 40 years later, and that elementary schoolwork looks more like that. It's turned into 30-page papers, and that kindergarten nap that you would get, you long for that because you are missing so much sleep. Or maybe that family, let's just say that you've added a few people and they're waking you up at all times of the night and you're definitely buckling in seatbelts at this point. Or maybe you're here, that beach body, you don't even want to go to the beach. You just want your body to do what your mind is telling it to do, but it just can't keep up. Oh, and that hair, you lost some along the way. But don't worry, there's a little thing called virgin hair that you can just put on top of that, and nobody would ever even know. That's another sermon. That's another sermon. Oop, I don't want to go back to that. I'm not sure what your good old days were, but I know that Wendell and I, when the kids are, they're being kids. We love them, though. When they're being kids, though, and we're doing homework, it feels like it's our schoolwork instead of their schoolwork. Yes. Everybody's asking us what's for dinner. We have four chairs on our porch, and we just go out, and we just go and get peace and quiet. And it lasts for about 2 or 3 minutes.
Until Malia comes
and it's gone. It's gone. But we look back at those good old days because we realize things have changed so much. Life is so stressful. Life is so stressful. And I'm sure that you've had moments where you felt life has been stressful for you. Now, in the Bible, we know it says that in this life that we will have trouble, that life is not going to be easy for us. But yet when trouble comes, we don't say, oh, I knew you were coming. Where have you been? Instead, it's when will this be over? How long do I have to endure? But I'm here to tell you this morning that God wants us to ask ourselves a question this morning. That when you find yourself looking back at the good old days, when you find yourself looking back at those moments when life was easy because it has gotten so stressful, I encourage you to ask yourself this question today. How can I rejoice when my today doesn't look as good as yesterday? How can I rejoice in my today when it doesn't look like yesterday? And I believe that we're going to find the answer to that question today as we continue our series in the Song of Ascents. And we're going to be focusing on chapter 126. If you would turn to your Bibles, or you can follow along on the screens with us this morning.
Okay. And Psalms 126 reads, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouths were filled with laughter then, and our tongues with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we were joyful. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like the water courses of the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap in shouts of joy. Amen. Though one goes along weeping, carrying a bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy, carrying his sheaves. So I just want to take a moment and just stop for a moment and just pray real quick. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. Anidra and I, we come, we stand in front of you, Father God, and we acknowledge that we are nothing without you.
Amen.
So, Lord, we ask, Father God, that you show up today. And if you show up today, I promise we will give you all the glory.
Amen.
And we thank you for this. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just like we often do, Psalms 126 refers to another time. It starts off by remembering when. Talks about Ezra 1. And this was a time when the Jerusalem was in exile. The Babylonians came and took them away. And let me explain how what happened then. At this point, before that happened, times were good. Things were good in Jerusalem. The temple was already created. This was the temple that David wanted to build, but David couldn't build because of his sin. So Solomon had to build this temple. This temple was the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So here we are. We have the temple. The Holy Spirit's there. God is living amongst his people the way he wanted, the way he intended to be, because God wants to live with us. And so time had gone by, and people had got adjusted to being around God, being in the Holy Spirit. And a new king came into power, as Zedekiah. It was the new king, and he did not follow Christ at all. He didn't follow God at all. His heart was turned away. And the people followed him, and they followed his suit. So people began to serve other gods and worship other gods, and they totally neglected God altogether. God saw this, and, you know, God being God, gave him opportunity after opportunity to repent. He'd send his prophets, he'd send his messengers, and the people would laugh at the messengers and turn away from them. The Bible says their heart got hard towards God's prophets. So God, what he did is he allowed the Babylonians to come in and take everything from his people. They burnt down that wonderful temple that Solomon built. They burnt it down to the ground, took everything of importance. And those who survived the attack were called into to serve the king of Babylon. And so they came in, and they were exiled because everything was gone. There was nothing else to, nowhere to live, so they all migrated over to Babylon.
Now, I'm not sure about many of you, but have you ever taken your eyes off God and he had to get your attention? So here we are, 70 years go by, and they are in Babylon. And King Cyrus, God calls him at this appointed time to go and build him a house in Jerusalem. So he makes a proclamation and letting the people know, the people of God know, that this is what God has appointed him to do at this time. And he encourages all the people who were exiled to return home with silver, gold, free offering, whatever you have, so that we can go and build this temple. Now, for them, they were miles and miles from home. So this felt like captivity. So the excitement was an understatement. They were astonished. They were so excited to get back home. The Bible says that their mouths, they were like those who dream, and their mouths were filled with laughter and their tongues with shouts of joy. God did something great. They were so amazed that their mouths were filled with laughter. And I've had a personal experience with this when I've seen God do something, work out something so great that all I could do was like, God, you did that thing. And I can just sit back and just laugh because I can't believe that he did it. Have you ever had God do something where he made a way when everything pointed to it being over? When even if you put your best plan in place, you couldn't make it work. It would take an act of God to make it happen. Well, this is what they felt like. They were astonished at what God had done because in their eyes, God had just performed a miracle. And although they knew that God was capable of such a thing, they were amazed. They were in awe. It was like a dream. It was unreal. They could not believe that it could happen for them. But that day had finally come, and they were joyful, a joy that could only come from God and God alone. And with joyful hearts, they return home and they begin to gather the materials. They're praising God, giving thanks to him for all that he's done. And about 13 months go by before they're able to begin to start building. And the foundation was laid, and the people of God were praising, like thanking God for his goodness, his faithfulness. God, you are good. They were shouting, giving thanks to God. They were joyful. But yet in the midst of that joy, there were some who were grieving. Because they looked at what was already built, and they saw that this wasn't what it once was. But in the midst of that grief, the joy is what was heard. The joy is what was heard. So not too long after that shouting and giving thanks and the joy, opposition comes. So here they are, they're trying to build this temple. Opposition comes, and not only discourages them, but it frustrates their plans. Now, I don't know about you, but we often feel sometimes when God answers that prayer, that thing that we've been on our face before him, that thing we've been crying out to him about, and when he finally answers it, it's like, oh, thank you, God, you did it. And we often feel, I know for me, we often feel like, okay, God, you answered that prayer, so here we are. It's going to be smooth sailing. But when opposition comes, when trouble comes, we're like, well, God, why did you even do that if you would bring me here, if I would have to face trouble still? And you know why he brings you to that point? It's because he doesn't bring you there to leave you there. He brings you there to mature you and to grow you. That there is something that he wants to do. He's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. He still has a work to do. He just wants to know, will you trust me even though things don't look like the way you think they should look? Will you trust me even in the midst of trouble? Will you trust me in that? Because you got to know that I see all and I know all things. And just like God did for the people of God when they were building the temple, when they were going through opposition, he sent the prophet Haggai and Zechariah to bring them encouragement to keep on building in the midst of opposition. And God is telling us that too, that he wants us to keep on pushing. No matter what the enemy throws your way, no matter how many tricks he pulls out that bag, no matter how many darts he throws at you, he wants you to know that he is leading you to your days of rejoicing. He is leading you to your days of rejoicing. He wants you to keep on pressing. And that's why I love the scripture when it says, those who sow in tears will reap with shouts of joy. The one goes along weeping, carrying the bag of seed, he will surely come back with shouts of joy. God is saying, all that weeping that you're doing, all the tears that you're crying, don't you worry about a thing, because surely you will come back with shouts of joy. Surely you will come back. It's a promise. It is a guarantee. And I don't know about you, but Wendell and I, we've had our own personal experiences with trouble times.
Yes, we have. I always knew I was called when I was about 12 or 13 years old. I always knew I was called to full-time ministry. But it really started in, around 2010?
Mm-hmm.
2010, we were married, and we were laying in bed, and God spoke to me, and he said, Wendell, I'm calling you into ministry right now. And it was just something about the word right now. It just meant so much to me. So I shared it with my wife. We prayed, and that was the end. We just went to bed that night.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up the next morning, went to go into work, and they said, Wendell, we no longer need you. You can go home.
5 years of being there.
5 years of being there. And it was crazy because God just spoke to me. It wasn't even 8 hours.
I'm like, my God, you were quick.
And so... but check this out. So I was like, all right, I had a peace, you know, because I know what God told me. I had a peace about it. So I went home and told Anidra, and she wasn't even mad.
It was
like, I couldn't even believe it.
That was God.
Like, I knew that was God, right?
Yeah,
she had a peace. And so,
it was God.
Yeah, and so there we are. So I'm without work for
about 9 months.
Didn't miss a thing. We didn't lack at all. God provided. I mean, the lights were still on. The kids ate. Everything was wonderful. For about, like you said, nine months.
Until one day we get a call from a friend of ours who is a recruiter for a lot of Assembly of God churches all around the world. And he called us one day, and he knew that Wendell was always called to ministry, and he knew what we were walking through. He said, maybe you guys should consider an internship in Florida. I'm thinking, internship? That is not going to provide for six people. That's not going to work. And so I did the Christian thing and said, oh, I'll pray about it.
Yeah, we'll pray about that then.
Yes.
Get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that thing was going to stay right there.
Exactly. Yes, buddy. But you know God, man. God kept tugging on me and tugging on me and tugging on me to the point I was just like, oh, Anidra, I think we need to go to Florida. And she said, okay.
Two times.
What?
Nothing but the Lord.
And so we shared with our family what was on our heart, right? And our family, you know, it was a mixed reviews. Some people was like, how are you going to take your wife, your four kids, go to Florida? You don't have a job. You don't have friends or family there. You have nothing. And you're just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just God. When God leads you. You know, when he tells you to do something.
We were obedient. So we get in the car, we pack everybody up, and we head to Florida. And I had a position lined up. Well, I had an interview lined up. And I told Wendell, I'm like, if I can get in this interview, it's in the bag. Don't you worry. I got this. So we get there, and, you know, I said, Wendell, will you take me just to make sure, you know, we didn't get lost. And we left 2 hours before my interview. And let's just say that we were in traffic for over 2.5 hours,
And
I didn't get the interview. That interview that I was so confident that I could just, that was in the bag, they wouldn't even give me the time of day because I was that late. So we get to the church where we were interning, and we let them know that I didn't get the position. And they said, that's okay, because we wanted to offer you a position here as an administrative assistant for our children's ministry department. I'm like, yes, God, thank you, yes. You are answering prayers. You just moving like this. And I'm like, okay, I accept. Weeks go on, and I slowly start to find that I have the title of an administrative assistant, but I have the responsibilities of a children's pastor. And it turned into me and Wendell and I leading this children's ministry that was run by teenagers that parents didn't even want their kids to be a part of, to this place where God was doing amazing things. And, I mean, the kids were hungry for God. And I just sat back. I just stepped back for a second. And God allowed me to see that that ministry, that desire for ministry that was once his, has now been planted in my heart. And so here I am thinking, okay, well, if the whole time that this was going on, I'm thinking, well, I'm just going to, you know, God has given me a voice. And, you know, I thought when he preaches, because like in the black churches, before you preach, somebody got to sing before you. So I was like, well, I'm just going to do that. So I'm preparing my voice. I'm like, I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I'm just getting ready. I'm getting ready. Yes, I was getting ready. But God was saying, you wanted to be backstage, but I'm calling you to be on the stage mm-hmm. with your husband. This is not just his ministry. This is your ministry together. And so I'm like, okay. So we, you know, we're continuing on and time goes on. Things are still going great. And then we feel God tugging us, okay, it's time for you to move on. Right. I'm like, okay. So we go have a conversation with the leadership. And we did not know that that was going to lead to our season of trouble.
Yeah.
We thought when we left there that everything was going to be good.
God has something else next. But when we left there, unfortunately, we left all of our friends. Our friends left us. So the relationship was just gone. Yes. So we were in isolation in Florida, and God is no longer speaking.
And let me tell you, I was like Dorothy, and I was clicking my heels together. I'm like, please take me back home. Mm-hmm. I did not want to be there anymore. We were 13 hours away from everybody that we knew. And this was a time when we were on our face before God, weeping, like, please, just give us something. Just tell us what to do. You brought us here.
Yeah, absolutely. Until
we get a call 2.5 years later.
Yes.
2.5 years in isolation. We get a call about a position in New Jersey. And we were like, God, thank you. You are answering our prayers. All right. And so we go and we just go to talk to them. We felt like God had already, as we were praying about it, and because there are a couple of steps that you go to before you go to meet with them in person. So we had some conversations and we prayed about it. And
we get there. They put us in this big old fancy hotel. Okay, we get a driver with an umbrella. And I'm like, you know what? This is what God want me to have. this is what it is. God want me to have this, right?
This is the blessed life.
Yeah, and so one church, two locations, mm-hmm. big old massive church, and they just put on a show. It was just great, and so
we get there. Well, we accept the position because we felt like we had confirmation. Okay. We move there, and the place that they had for us, it was roach infested. And I'm like, come on, God.
Roach infested. These weren't regular roaches, understand? Typically, when roaches come out, it's at night. But these roaches were coming out during the day, like, hey, Wendell, what's for dinner? What's
yes.
the supper? Like, they live here, too.
Yes. And if you know me, you know that I was on the first thing out of there because all I had to see was all that crawling over my kids. And I'm like, I am ready to go. I'm like, come on, God, really? Mm-hmm. But so that led to about 3 months of us living in a hotel, paying over $150 a night.
No kitchen.
Every meal we had to eat out. The church, nobody invited us over for dinner and none of that. And we were like, okay, God, you told us to do this, so we're going to push through. We're going to keep pressing through. And you've probably heard me share the story about how my kids and I, we got together and we prayed and God opened the door for us to get into a new place. It was beautiful. So we get into this new place. We're so excited. We're like, all right, God, I can go with a clean mind, fresh mind. I'm ready to go. All this trouble stuff is over, and we're here, and we're ready to serve. Until I get into my first staff meeting, because we don't have them every week like we do here. They'll just be random. And we had our first staff meeting, and now I know why it was random. And he says, you guys, we're in a bad spot, and we don't know if we can pay you guys. I'm like, God, really? I'm just thinking, I went home and I'm like, Wendell, but we kept going back. Like, this is what God told us to do. This is what he told us to do. So I was determined that we were going to keep on pressing. We were going to keep on moving forward. And let me just explain what was the.
So basically how our routine was, we'd get up about 5 o'clock in the mm-hmm. morning on Sunday. We drive across the bridge. We were staying in New Jersey. We drive across the bridge to Philadelphia, do a 3-hour kids service, then after that kids service, we prep our leadership because there was a second service there, but we couldn't stay. So we prepped our leadership for the second service. got back in our car, drove back across the bridge, back to New Jersey, did another 3-hour service for more kids, and this was our routine. And then on Wednesday night, we'd go and have a Wednesday night service for, what, 2 or 3 hours as well.
Because there was no hour-and-a-half service.
Right. And it's 2 locations, so we had to do one on Thursday night for the other location, another 2.5 hours. It was just, it was a whole lot. And we never actually got a chance to be a part of this, like seeing adults. And so I think it was just years of being, I was so used to being around kids that I felt awkward around adults. It just didn't feel right because I was always around kids.
Yeah, but we kept going because, again, this is what God had called us to do. Until one day I get a phone call from Sean Franco, and I'm like,
who? It's like a mob boss.
I'm like,
Franco.
Who?
I was like, hey, it's the Godfather, you know?
That was not planned.
Sorry.
I get this call, and he's telling me about, you know, he got my name, and I didn't even know at this point until later that my name was even, you know, submitted. And so he calls, and I said, okay, well, I'll call him back. You know, that's the only, you know, it'd be nice. You got to do that. So I call back, and I enjoyed talking to him. I enjoyed his conversation, and we had several conversations over video, and it got to the point where they asked us to come out, but I was very, very scared because I said, Lord, I don't know if my family can survive another move. I don't know if we can survive. Because financially, with the hotel, we were, I mean, we maxed everything that we had because at that time, I was the only one working. So it was just, I was like, Lord, I can't do it. And Wendell was like, you can stay, but I'm going. And so he was like, yeah. And I was just like, okay, well, I'll go because my family is from here. And I'll just go and at least I'll be able to see them. Until we get here, and we felt like the Lord was saying, okay, this is it. And the Pastor Sean and the leaders, they felt like this was a place that we were supposed to be. I hope you guys still feel that way. And so I didn't give them an answer right away. I went home because, again, I was still nervous. And I'm like, God, if this is what you want us to do, you're going to have to speak to me in an audible voice. Because I don't know what to do. Until we got home.
Got home that night, went to bed, and it was a crazy dream I had that God, you know, was telling us that we needed to leave and go to Virginia. But, you know, I don't take a dream. It's a dream. So, and then I was at the driving that evening.
Because you were working at this point.
I was working at this point. There's a guy. I was at a red light, and a guy was in front of me. He hopped out of his car, runs to me, knocks on my window. I'm kind of freaking out, rolled down a little bit.
He's like, because it is Jersey.
He's like, yeah. Cherry Hill. And he was like, look, I know this is crazy. This may sound strange, but God told me to tell you that the direction you're going, go that way. Okay? Does that make sense? And then he runs off, and I'm like, that works. Okay. Okay. So I go and tell her about it, and
I'm like, well, there's our answer. And so we let the leadership know, and trust me, it wasn't a very easy time for us, but we make the decision that we're coming. We call and we say yes. Fast forward, and we get here. As soon as we plant our feet in Chester, Virginia, the Lord spoke to me and said, Anidra, this place is going to be a place of peace, rest, and joy for you and your family. And he allowed me to see that every single thing that I walked through, from Florida to the isolation to New Jersey, everything that the enemy tried to use to distract me, all of that we went through, it was for this moment. And I'm not telling you this because I'm Pastor Anidra. I'm telling you because it's fact. Yeah. My family and I have never experienced as much rest and joy that we have found here at Cornerstone. We've never. Everything that we ever walked through was worth every single moment. Yeah. It was worth every single moment to get to this place. And so I just want to challenge you this morning. Maybe you are in a season where you are facing some trouble seasons and some trouble times, or you're in the middle of it. And I just want to encourage you. We want to encourage you with 3 things this morning to know how you can rejoice when your present day doesn't look as good as yesterday.
The first thing we want you guys to remember, one of the most important things, is to keep your eyes on God. It is so easy to keep your eyes on God and Him to be your focus when you're going through the struggle, because there's a need there. Mm-hmm. But remember, when times are good, to keep your eyes on God as well. Mm-hmm. Don't be like the children of Jerusalem who took their eyes off of God and everything was great because you saw how that worked out for them. Don't put yourself in a position where God has to take everything from you to get your attention. Mm. Keep your eyes on him.
Fix your eyes. That's
right. Fix your eyes on him. Also, the second thing is stop and see what God is doing in the here and now. Stop and see what God is doing in the here and now. Don't spend too much time looking back at what God once did because he wants to do a new thing now. I remember the church I grew up in, we had a huge revival and God was just doing all these great things and these great works. And it stopped one day. It just stopped. And everybody was just longing for what once was, bouncing from church to church because they were trying to find what they thought was how God operates.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they were looking for. But God's saying, you haven't even seen what I'm about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at what once was. God says, keep your eyes forward because I'm about to do a new thing.
So how do you rejoice in your present day when your present day doesn't look as good as yesterday? You keep your eyes on him. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. You stay on him and him alone. And you stop and see what God is doing in the here and now. When you focus on what he's doing right now, you learn to be grateful. You learn to be joyful in your season right now. And finally, you persevere despite the new adversities that you may face. You keep pressing no matter what. Because remember, you can't reap a harvest where you don't sow a seed. And there is no birth without travail. So you may be going through opposition. Trouble may be hitting you every single way. But God says to persevere. Those tears that you cry, they're not going unnoticed. God says he sees every single tear. All the nights that you spent weeping before him, he says he sees it. He did not leave you. He did not bring you this far to leave you. He just wants to know, will you keep pushing? Will you keep pressing? Will you persevere despite the opposition that comes your way? And just like he sent encouragement to the people of God when they were building the temple, he will send encouragement to you today to keep pushing no matter what you are going through. And I just want to ask you a question this morning. Do you understand the God that we serve? That if he has a purpose and if he has a plan for your life, by any means necessary, he will make sure that that promise, that purpose will be fulfilled by any means necessary. Do you understand the lengths that he will go through to make sure that his purpose for your life is fulfilled? And I love Ezra 6:22 because it says they observe after they had dedicated the temple. They said they observed the festival of unleavened bread for 7 days with joy because the Lord made them joyful, having changed the Assyrian king's attitude toward them. So that he supported them in the work on the house of God of Israel. Do you know that God will cause your enemies to be for you? Do you know that he will cause those who were in your way to show you the way? By any means necessary. Those who did not support you, those who did all this and did all that, they will now be in your corner. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we serve. He says that he is leading you to your days of rejoicing. Don't you worry about those tears. He said that he's taking you somewhere. He's taking you somewhere. Every step that it is leading you to your days of rejoicing. If you would just trust him. Before we close today, I want to ask Pastor Brandon if he would come and just play for a little bit. Because I believe, we firmly believe, even in our prayer time and as we were preparing, that there are people here this morning who are in that season where you feel like you've been hit every way you look. Mm-hmm. You feel like you just keep facing just trouble, like everything just keeps coming at one time and you are tired. You are exhausted. And you ask that question that I said earlier, when will it be over? How long, God, do I have to endure? Because it feels like it's been a very long season. And just like God sent the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, he sent Wendell and I to tell you this morning to keep on pressing. Keep on pressing. He says, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on pressing. No matter what the enemy throws at you, keep on pressing. Keep on pressing through. He sees you. Everything has been under his control this entire time. And he has his eyes on you. And he just wants to know, will you keep pressing? Will you keep pressing? If that's you this morning, I just want to ask if everybody would just close their eyes and bow their heads this morning. We want to give you a chance to respond to that. And I want to be able to pray for you this morning. If that's you this morning and you feel like you're just going through and you're tired and you need God just to give you the strength to keep on going, I will ask you to raise your hands this morning so that we can pray for you. Amen. Amen.
Wow.
You can put your hands down. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you love us so much, God, that you don't ever take your eyes off of us. We thank you that, Father, even in the storm, Lord, that you are with us, that you said in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us, God. And I thank you that, Lord, that everything that we've gone through, everything that we're going through, the season that we're in, Lord, you see it. You see it. It doesn't go unnoticed. Everything is under your control. And God, I just pray right now that, God, that you would give them the strength, Lord, to persevere. That you would give them the boldness, that you would give them the strength, everything that they need to press forward, God. I pray right now that, God, that you would just do it right now as they're sitting in their seats, God. That they would just lay it before you, God, and trust you with it and know that, God, that you are working this thing out for them and that you are leading them to their days of rejoicing. And although things don't look like what they think it should look like, although they're tired and they don't understand, Father, we know that you have greater days ahead for them. So, Father, we just thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. We thank you that you're covering them in your blood, that we plead the blood of Jesus over them, that a hedge of protection would be around and about them, God. We just thank you that you will continue to bring people, Lord, to them, to encourage them, Lord, when they feel like giving up. Lord, that you would lift their arms, Lord, when they feel like they can't lift them on their own. Lord, we just thank you that they can find strength in you and you alone. And Father, I just ask, because I believe that there are people here that, Lord, they're going through maybe because of some choices that they made. And, Lord, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your grace that you still love them, that you still care for them, you still see them. And, Lord, that you're going to see them through, that you're not leaving them and you never left. You never left. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And if you would just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. We believe there's a second group this morning.
We also want to give an opportunity for a second response. This is out to those of you who are saved. You know Christ. You've experienced his power. But maybe you've taken your eyes off him. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. That was me. I've taken my eyes off him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't worshiping other gods, but he wasn't the center. He wasn't the focus of my everyday life. And so if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that too. We want to pray with you as well. So that is you, if you want to raise your hand. Amen, amen. While we're doing that also too, this is a second call, a third one, excuse me. For those of you who might not even know who is this guy that we're talking about, and maybe you want to know who he is, I want to give you an opportunity to respond as well. So if that's you, if you want to raise your hand, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today.
Amen.
Father God, I just thank you right now, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your mercy. And no matter what we have done in the past, God, you have forgiven everything we have done.
Yes.
It's thrown away. And Father God, right now, I just pray that you give us the strength and the power to make it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus over my brothers and sisters right now from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, oh God.
Yes.
And I just pray that you will hold their hand, God, as we walk day by day through the struggle of this thing we call life.
Mm.
I pray that you anoint each and every single purpose, every single person to fulfill their purpose.
Yes.
And Father God, those who don't know you, Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they receive you as their personal Lord and Savior and that you will help them as we help them walk through this, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Would you stand this morning? We serve such a good God. And I think we have a few moments just to take a moment to stop and to all of us to fix our eyes on him and him alone. We're all going through different seasons, but we know that he is the only answer. He is the only solution to whatever stage you are in this life. So if we could just take a few moments and just fix our eyes on the Almighty God, because he is worthy of our praise this morning. Amen.